hallelujah. God, I love you. I praise you, Jesus. Come on. He's here to bless you. He's here to touch you. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. No better place to be. No better place to celebrate Mom's Day. Come on. Than in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad all of you are here. And just wanted to bring the word of God to you just tonight. I want God to touch you and speak to you. I believe God has positioned this church here. I feel it. Especially in the last couple weeks. I've been hearing reports that I believe are amazing, and God is getting ready to bust this place open with revival. Amen. Does anybody want to be a part of revival? But there's sometimes, folks, we need to learn to get ourselves in a position to hear from God. God wants to do some great things in your life. And I'm speaking to every one of you here tonight. But you have to be in that mindset that says, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? Are you able to hear from God? We're going to be gone for like 3 weeks. And I'm relying on all of you to do your part. I'm relying on you to be the church, to be a part of helping those in leadership that are trying to make things run while we're gone. Okay? And from what I've seen the last few weeks, I think God has orchestrated this just for each and every one of us. You know, when I was a young kid, my dad would say, I want you to do this, this, and this. And I would, I don't know how to do that. He'd show me, and part of it would get done. Him showing me. And then I'd say, I can't do it, Dad. Come on, let me show you how to do that again. They say, no, if I'd done that enough, it got done. And sometimes that's how we are. Pastor, how does this need to be done? And, you know, pastor just loves and just steps up and get things taken care of. But sometimes we just need to learn to just trust in God. Say, God, you help me. Come on. I'll do this, God. And that's how God is. God says, here, I'll give you this because I trust you. If you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, I'm sorry. Mess with Sister Meredith up there. Mark chapter 8, we're going to read verse 13 through 18. I feel the presence of God here right now. Feel him in a mighty way. God wants to touch and speak to you. And I mean that, folks. So let's be sensitive tonight, all right? Verse 13 says, and he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. He's saying this, basically what they're saying. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? See, Jesus is looking at them and saying, is it because, do you have this? Do you have that? He's going down the list, folks. And he's looking at us tonight. And he's saying, I'm not done here yet. But he's saying, I want to use you. Get your act together.
What's your problem? What's holding you back? And when Jesus, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And Jesus knew it, and he said to them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? Neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Listen to this. Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? What's our problems tonight, folks? Why isn't God able to use us like he wants to? I want to speak to you tonight. The time is now to eliminate the distractions. God, right now, God, I praise you. I thank you for what I feel right now. God, touch us here, I pray. Let your will be done in this house tonight, God. Help us here, Lord God, to stand up and say, God, here I am. God, I'm not making any more excuses. God, I'm going to do a work for you. In the name of Jesus, touch us and bless us in this house, I pray. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You can be seated. Let me give you a little story. Back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator, answering an ad in the newspaper. He went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the office. The young man filled out his form and sat down with the seven other applicants in the waiting area. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled." The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up saying, "Wait a minute. I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer said, "I'm sorry, but all the time you have been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come right in. The job is yours." None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, and the job is his. Folks, I'm asking you this right now. Are our ears tuned to his voice? Because I believe God has been saying, if you'll just step right up to the plate, I'll use you, young man, young lady. If you'll just walk right into my presence and you'll seek my face, the job is yours. I'm telling you tonight, God wants to bless some people. He wants to use you, and he's looking for some people that'll step up. He's not looking for somebody to say, "Let's just sit around and wait for pastor to do it. Let's just sit around and wait for some of the other leadership to do." Hey, man, come on. I'm telling you tonight, God has a job, and he's saying, if you'll walk through, come in, the job is yours. Hallelujah. There are some things that we are interesting about this story. You see, this young man was not the first one there. There was probably men with higher qualifications sitting in the outer in the room there. They may have been men who were better dressed. Maybe they were comparing themselves among themselves and touting that they're about their qualifications. Maybe each one was telling the other one why they deserved the job. Maybe they were arguing about who was the right one and the wrong one for the position. But while they were set there, this young man waltzed right in and he got the job. You see, the reason this young man got the job was, folks, because he was listening for the right voice. Amen. Somehow, he had eliminated all of the other distractions. When I read this to you, he said he walked in and there was a lot of hubbub going on. There was a lot of noise along with the telegraph noise. In life, folks, there's a lot of things going on in our lives. Every day, every one of us are busy. You know, one of the lamest excuses I believe that God will hear is, God, I was so busy. I'm sorry. I couldn't do this for you. I couldn't do that for you. And you know what God's going to say? So is this one. And so were these people. They were all busy, but they were listening to me, and they got the job, and they got it done. Done. This young man eliminated the distraction, all of those distractions, all outside influences, folks. I'm telling you, there are things that come in our lives that we got to say, it's got to have to go on the back burner. While others are preoccupied with other conversations, although worthwhile they may have been, amen, they missed the main message. While others were talking amongst themselves, the small, unobtrusive voice of the telegraph machine went unnoticed. Even though the quietest sound, it was the most important sound in the room. And the one who heard it is, it was the one who eliminated all outside influences and distractions in his life. You see, the ones who will hear, folks, hear me tonight, the ones who will hear the still, small voice of Jesus in this generation are the ones who eliminate distractions. The ones who block out all the outside influences. The ones who concentrate on what God is saying amid all the clutter and amid all the hubbub of everyday life. You see, I've told this church the story about when I was a young teenager. And folks, there was a time when I was not doing well. And there was a time that I'm not proud of in my life. Amen. But there came a point one day when I realized, you know what? I don't like this, but there are days that I could go all day long and not even think about God. And so from then on, I made it a point. Amen, that I was going to think upon God. Amen, that I was going to start to focus on the things of God. And you know what it did? It changed my life. I'm telling you, folks, God wants us to serve Him intentionally. We have all had people say something to us while we were daydreaming. Huh? Come on. Or we were else otherwise preoccupied. You ever have anybody do that? You're daydreaming, you're thinking, and so when we finally come back to ourselves, we say, what did you say? And you look, you weren't listening to me? We've all had that, haven't we? You didn't hear me? When what we were really, what really mean is, I heard, but I didn't understand you. I heard you speaking, but what you said didn't register with me. I knew you were talking to me, but my mind was preoccupied with other things, and I didn't understand what it was that you wanted me to hear. You see, some can hear, but they don't understand sometimes what has been said. The only way that they can really understand what someone says is if they are looking directly at them when they speak. One thing my dad taught me, when you're talking to somebody or when somebody's talking to you, you look them right in the eye. He wouldn't have, you know, you ever talk to somebody and they're talking away and they're looking like this, but they're talking away to you. Drives me crazy. But see, we need to be paying attention to God. Some can hear, but don't understand sometimes what has been said. You see, in order to hear what God is saying, we, folks, must remove all distractions. And we must keep our eyes on Him. Amen? Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8. In the year, this is an awesome story, folks. In the year that King Uzziah died, look what he's saying. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled all the temple. Side note, this is free. That train, just keep in mind, when kings would win the battles, they would take the cape of the other king and they would have it sewed under their train to show forth the victory. The longer it was, the more victories they had. And here He is saying, I saw, and His train filled the temple. That's free. But listen, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain that covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twains he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Amen. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. When did He say, Woe is me? When my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you, folks, when we get our eyes focused on God, we're going to understand just how rotten we are. And we're going to understand just how much we need God. Hallelujah. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Come on, he's already seen the Lord. He's already realized how bad he is. And the Lord said, Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I. Somebody that's looking at things differently. Then said I, Here I am. Send me. Come on, folks. We need to get our eyes on the right things tonight. King Uzziah had become a distraction. He became a distraction to who? Isaiah. And it was only when the king died that Isaiah, the Bible says, saw the Lord. Uzziah, one of Amaziah's sons, whom the people made king of Judah in his father's stead. Amen. His long reign of about 52 years was the most prosperous, except for that of Jehoshaphat, since the time of Solomon. He was a vigorous and able ruler, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering of Egypt. In the earlier part of his reign, amen, under the influence of Zechariah, he was faithful to Jehovah his God. And he did that what was right in the sight of the Lord. But toward the close of his life, the Bible says his heart was filled up to his destruction. Amen. And he meticulously invaded the priest's office. And he was entering into the sanctuary. He proceeded to offer incense on the golden altar. It was a no-no. Ezariah the high priest saw this deliberate act on the part of the king, and with the band of 80 priests, he withstood the king. He's saying, it is not right for thee, Uzziah, to burn incense. Uzziah was suddenly struck with leprosy while in the act of offering this incense, and he was driven out of the temple, compelled to reside in a several house until the day of his death. He was buried in a separate grave, in a field, in a burial which belonged to the kings. Hear me. Isaiah learned something, folks. Isaiah learned that position was not what he should be seeking after. You see, Uzziah gave Isaiah a position. And when he got this position, he lost sight of his God. I want you to notice, when you look at this Isaiah's vision, there's three parts. When the man of God who had taken care of him. I'm sorry, when the man, the king, who had taken care of Isaiah, when he died, Isaiah turned again to the Lord. You see, sometimes when God takes things out of our lives, it gets our attention and we get focused right where we need to be. Amen? When the king died, he took his attention to the Lord. And it was then Isaiah received his vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. He was high and he was lifted up. His train filled the temple. You see, Isaiah said, when my distractions were eliminated, then I saw the Lord. When I stopped looking to the arm of the flesh, that's when I saw the Lord. When I stopped realizing, when I understand I can't do everything, I mess things up, then you see the Lord. When I got my focus off of the things that man could do for me, then I saw the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, folks, God wants you to put your attention on Him. He wants you to get your attention off your job. God wants you to work hard. But He wants you to get your attention to all the other things that you think should be doing for you. We live in a day and an age when people think they are owed everything. We need to understand that only by His grace we exist. And we are owed nothing from Him. He paid a price for each and every one of us. And folks, we need to serve Him with everything within us. The second thing, after Isaiah saw the Lord, when he saw God, he began to see himself. Isaiah 6:5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, and for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We got to get our focus straight, folks. We got to understand why we are here. We got to understand why God filled us with His Spirit. We need to get our eyes focused on God and off so many things in the world that we think we are owed. Isaiah realized how far he had drifted away from God. He realized that when he saw his God. When God took some things away from him. was after he got a vision of God. And he immediately began to repent. We need to do some repenting in our lives. We need to tell God just how sorry we are and how far away. We need to admit to ourselves and to our God, God, I haven't been doing what I need to be doing lately. God, I haven't been focused on what I've been focused on lately. God, I need you and I need nothing else. Forgive me, God. And then finally, after he saw God and he saw himself, he got a vision of the world that he was sent to witness to. He said, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Let me tell you something, folks. Years ago, I was at a conference right after we first came to Cleveland, and they sent us to a conference, whole missions conference. And I believe it was the brother from North Carolina, Brother Huntley, spoke a message. I still have this, the arrow on my wall, and the little tag that says, if it is to be, it's up to me. If your world is going to be saved, and you know what I tell you this all the time, your world, your family members, your co-workers, your neighborhood, whoever it is you come in contact with, that's your world, that's your mission field. If they're going to be saved, it's up to you. And I'm hoping here tonight that once you see the Lord, and once you look at yourself tonight like Isaiah did, and then you're going to hear God say, who's going to talk to them? Who's going to give them a Bible study? Who's going to reach those people that you see on a daily basis or a weekly basis? Who's going to do it? Who's going to go tonight? Who's going to step up to the plate? Who's going to remove the distractions in your life and say, okay, God, I'm walking in because I'm taking the job. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? And Isaiah, he heard the voice of the Lord. Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. I'm saying to this church, God has a job for you to do. There is a work to be done. And the position is open. Who tonight will fill it? Who will go? Who will do the work of God in this generation? You see, folks, the job position is open. And the advertisement has gone forth. In Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We know that that name is Jesus Christ. Amen. In Mark 16:15-16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do we believe that tonight, folks? But he that believeth not shall be damned. How are they going to know unless we tell them? Matthew 9:37-38, then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the field. How about everybody tonight? I'm a laborer. Are you a laborer tonight? Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The job, reach the lost at any cost. The pay. Matthew 16:26-27. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. There's benefits for working for God. In Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you want to have joy and peace and righteousness? Hallelujah. So live for God with everything within you. The old saying, life insurance policy is out of this world. You see, the applicants have come from near and far. And they are sitting in the interviewing room. And they're waiting their turn. But I would say to you today, folks, that it is not the most qualified. It is not the most well-dressed. It is not the first one on the scene. Or not the one with the most ability that will get the job. But the ones that will get the nod from the Lord of the harvest are those who will hear His still, small voice, and those that understand what the purpose of the church is today. Those whose attention is not diverted by the other sounds that clamor all around us. Those who don't think that they have already arrived and they deserve the job because of their superior qualifications. But those who are listening, those who are understanding the voice of God. Now listen, we can argue all day along amongst ourselves, and you can use scripture to back up why that we are right and everyone else is wrong. But while we are crossing theological swords, people are dying and going to hell. The ones whom God will work through in this generation are the ones who have eliminated the distractions in their lives. Not the most educated, not the best dressed, not the ones with the most impressive pedigree or heritage, but those folks who have eliminated distractions. You see, in Psalms 24, verse 33 through 6 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. That seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. You see, it's interesting. Folks, understand this. Notice that one of the meanings of both of these words used here, clean and pure, not muddied or double-minded, but a clear, unhindered direction. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If there thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. One of the definitions for single in this passage is simple or clear. What God is looking for in this generation is not talent, not ability, pedigree, heritage. God is simply looking for people that will eliminate distractions. People who will keep their purpose clear, their lives uncluttered, and free from the things of the world that will divert our attention away from the still, small voice of God. People, folks, will not only hear, people that will understand what God is saying. Let's stand here tonight. See, Pastor, how do I hear? How do I understand the voice of God? You see, it's not enough to hear the voice of God. I must understand what God is saying. You see, folks, listen to me. Samuel heard the voice of God. The story of Samuel, his mom takes him to Eli, the priest. And Eli is going to raise him in the temple. And one night, God begins to call out to Samuel. Samuel heard the voice of God. You know where Samuel ran to? Samuel ran to Eli to ask him, "What do you want, Eli?" See, it's one thing to hear the voice, but it's another to know from where it is coming and what it is saying. You see what it sounded like, folks? It sounded like the voice of his pastor. John 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The way I can hear the voice of God is only through prayer, fasting, and spending time in the Word so that I can eliminate distractions. Folks, we've got to work on eliminating distractions in our life. I believe God has spoken to some people here tonight. I think you've cleared some things and said, "Okay, God, here I am." We have to talk to Him. We have to seek Him. And I'm opening up this altar for some folks to come up here tonight and seek God and say, "God, here I am. Help me to get rid of all the clutter. Help me to get rid of all the distraction so that I can be focused on what I need to focus on." Come on. God wants to use you, folks. We have to believe that.